7 verses, that'll be a stretch for me. I think we have Exodus 32, verses 7 to 14 is the pericope for this coming Sunday. Is the New Testament contingency here, too? Who's handling the New Testament? Gasp. I'm not prepared for that. I don't even know what the text is. Acts? Luke, yeah. Okay, all right. Figuratively. Well, okay, so I guess how long do I have? Until 12 o'clock or 5 after or what? 5 after. Okay. All right. The context here is Moses is up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and God, of course, is aware of what's going on down below, namely the people's apostasy. They just barely made the covenant, and now probably about 2 months have gone by, of course, which is kind of a stretch, a long time for Moses to be absent. They didn't expect that at all. And so in the meantime, they found a physical expression and for God, as well as a physical expression for their worship. They felt more involved, I think, in the kind of liturgy that they came up with. Anyway, that is not the focus of this particular passage. That follows, and that pericope comes up for the month, I believe, of November. Where it picks up at 15 and carries it on with the song, with the little Joshua says, you know, it's a song of warfare, and Moses responds and talks about it when Moses himself becomes aware. So this, however, focuses on the responsiveness and the interrelationship between Moses' response and Yahweh's response to the situation. Verse 7. White of air. I don't know how much you want to comment, you know, we need comments on this. This is a wow consecutive imperfect. You might have expected a dagish in the yod, but when a yod is followed by a schwa, typically no dagish is printed. Nevertheless, it's still wow consecutive. Imperfect, it's a PL, just means speak. Yahweh spoke to Moses. Lech reid. Go, this would normally be lake, it's from halach, but when it's joined by that little line, which is called a makef, it is proclitic, it loses its accent, throwing it to the last syllable. So then the normal say-ray lake shortens to a segol, lech. It's kind of a hard thing, if you don't know it, it's hard to find, it's impossible to find, in fact, you just have to memorize it. So it's imperative, second masculine singular for halak, go. Rave, that's a tough one. It's from a first yod verb, yarad. This type of first yod, the yod drops off entirely. And typically the thematic vowel is the say-ray. So in the imperfect it would be yay-raid, the perfect yarad. It usually means to go down. Now, it's kind of strange. This is one of those bipolar verbs in Hebrew. Occasionally, it does mean to go up. Here, obviously, he's on the mountain, and God wants him to go down. Go down. Now, we do have a foot textual apparatus note here, notation. I don't know how much you spend... if you attend to these things or not, I don't know if it tends to eat up the time where it really doesn't pay off. But this has a Septuagint, has an addition here, slightly a different version, which seems to follow the story, the account as it's in Deuteronomy 9. And this recurs throughout some of these other notations, that perhaps Deuteronomy 9 was more in the memory of the scribes. And that resulted in some things being left out, and most of the time is things thrown in. So the Septuagint has get up and quickly go from here, That comes from Deuteronomy. Well, moving on. So go down because Shekath Amacha. Peel from Shekath, which means to act ruinously or to cause trouble. The subject is Amacha. Strangely, it's your people. Your people. Kind of like... You know, and the big thing in Exodus, in, for example, chapter 19, is I will be your God and you will be my people. Now, all of a sudden, there's a kind of a dig and a slam that your people, Moses, are doing. And then, which you brought up, the Hifil, He'elitha, is a from Allah, third hay, and to cause to go up, or more accurately, to bring up. And, of course, the big item in the Bible, the big credo, is that God brought these people out of Egypt. But it wasn't just Moses, and it wasn't just that the people left and went on their own. It was God who brought them up, but now God says, you brought them up from the land of Egypt. Now, this is a construct chain. So the Me'eretz, May, say re, because of lack of ability to assimilate a nun in the Aleph, so there's compensative lengthening. No definite article printed, but that's because it's a construct chain. Mitzrayim is definite, which makes the whole chain definite. So you can properly translate this from the land of Egypt. If you have any questions or comments, just stop me. Otherwise, I'll just continue rambling on here. So verse 8, Saru meher min haderik asher ziwithim asur lachem egol. Okay, Saru, turned aside. It comes from sur, it's a hollow verb, and this follows the normal pattern of a kaal perfect. Stating a fact, they turned aside. Meher means adverb quickly, from the way, derek, and here obviously it's not just a path, a literal path, but it's more the figurative sense of a way of conduct. This becomes a very important semi-technical word in Deuteronomy, as well as in Hosea, and again especially in the book of Proverbs. Picking up in the New Testament, the first Christians were called followers of the way, or for short, simply the way. And of course, Jesus referred it to himself as the way. Which I see, we theme, PL perfect, first person, third hey. The Dagesh is in the wild because it's PL. The suffix is simply the maim, which typically happens when you have a first common singular verb. The yod being defective, so simply adding on the third masculine common or plural suffix, which I commanded them. So they have quickly turned aside from the path that I commanded them. Now this siwa command is not just a little in a legalistic sense, but it's something like which I mandated or ordered. It's not yet the same thing as commandments, or say it would be the difference in Latin between mandatum and lex. Okay, they made for themselves ego. Now this is not just a calf. A lot of people get the idea that, you know, they get in their mind a picture of a little nice little calf, like a little cow. But this would be a male. Now there is a female word for a cow calf, but this is the word for a bull calf, a male calf. So, you know, immediately you think of Baal type stuff, but then you would ask, well, how is this in an Egyptian context? Well, in fact, there was great influence of Baalism, even at the time of Moses. They even had a place, a cultic place called Baal Zaphon in Egypt. And in the Sinai Peninsula, archaeologists have discovered, I guess it's about 5 inches high, a gold-crafted little bull calf. Masai Ka, that would be one which has been, can't think of the word now, a calf that has been imaged, not as crafted. What's the word here? Somebody help me out. Masai Ka? Molded, that's what, yeah, molded, thank you. And Wayishtakawu, that always reminds me of something like from Pocahontas, or, it doesn't sound like a Hebrew word. The reason it doesn't sound Hebrew is that it has too many letters, basically. And it gave linguists a hard time understanding this for a long while, until Ugaritic came along, and it kind of settled the issue that this whole thing, this Yisht, the Yod, Shin, Tau, together is the performative, and that the root is from kawa, third hey. It's not a hollow verb, it really is a wow second letter. It's the older form of the verb kaya, to live. So the prefix yisht and hisht and things like that is a understood as a reflexive, causative reflexive. And the sense would be literally, but it doesn't mean that here in the Bible, but literally it would be something like let themselves or cause themselves to live. And by extension, maybe you worship the God and thus let yourselves live. Who knows? But here it simply means to worship, and it is basically a synonym for bow down. It has to do with worship. Wow, consecutive imperfect, and they worshipped him, plural, masculine, singular, masculine, we would say it. But again, it underscores that this is a masculine thing, not a feminine representation. Wayizbaku lo, wow, consecutive imperfect, zabak, to sacrifice, typical word, generic term for sacrifice, and they sacrificed to it. We don't know what they sacrificed, but, and why, it doesn't make much sense. And here's a bull. What do bulls eat? They eat corn or something. It could be a grain offering, but, or a libation offering, but here the typical word is for a kind of a meal offering in terms of an animal sacrifice. And they, Wayomaru, wow, consecutive imperfect, first aleph, that's why you have an aleph there. There's five first olives that take the holam. And they said, Eloheka, these are your gods, Yisrael, O Israel, Asher, which, He'aluka, which caused you to go up from the land, Meretz Mitzrayim, from the land of Egypt. These are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. Well, it could be singular as a plural of fullness. However, usually the verb would then be singular. Especially, for example, when, like in Genesis 1, you have Elohim, but then you have bara is in the singular. So typically when it's understood as a singular entity, although plural of fullness, the verb would usually be in the singular. However, there is a bit of ambiguity here, and especially when it refers to the egel is just one, at least only one is mentioned, then the idea may not be so crass as to that they actually thought that this figure had brought them out We know that this is not the case even from Baalism, that Baal was thought to ride on the backs of bulls. Then again, Egel could be a collective word too. Egel can be not only singular, but it can stand for the whole class. So how many there were, you know, there may have been even more than two. Who knows? However, Aaron only talks about basically one. So there's a lot of ambiguity here and unclear things that we'd have a lot of questions that we would like to have answered. But the text takes us on a different path. Verse 9. Well, Yomer. We commented on this before. Notice the Segol with Yomer. That is a shortening from the usual pointing of Seireh. With a vowel consecutive imperfect, it tends to pull the accent to the front of the verb. So you end up with a closed, unaccentable syllable, which Hebrew will not allow, a long vowel, so it shortens to Segol. So Yahweh said to Moses, Ra'ithi, I have seen, or I see. Eth ha'am hazeh, this people. Wa hine am kashe oref hu. All right, now this is, we see a prothesis for something to follow, and that is conjoined by verse 10, wa atah. So you would go back, the force of the hine would sort of alert you that this is a subordinate. And it's leading up to the point, which is in verse 10, wa'ata. So you might translate it like something like since, and then verse 10, so therefore. Let's get this then. I have seen this people, and indeed, or and since, a people, keshe oref. That is a construct clause. Keshe is a noun in Hebrew. It is a third hey type of noun. Normally it would end in a segol. Here we have a seireh because it's construct. Normally there would be a kametz under the kof, but construct reduces it to schwa. It is hardness of neck. Is he, who, referring to am, therefore masculine. He is stubborn. It's a idiomatic for strong-headed, stubborn. Verse 10. So therefore, let me, it's a second person imperative of nuch, hollow verb nuch, and the kamis hey on the end is a volative hey. It looks like feminine, but it really isn't. It's simply a volative hey. Another form of the imperative. Leave to me. Idiomatic. Leave me alone, or leave me by myself. I think that theologically what's going on here is God is indicating to Moses, don't act as intercessor. Don't be the go-between between me and the people. Leave me to myself. Now, the next thing is important, wa, with a schwa, followed by a yod. You have to be careful. This is not a wow consecutive. Had it been a while consecutive, it would be pathak followed by doubling. Yechar is the jussive form with a while conjunction. That is after this imperative. So you have this sequence. Leave me alone that. So that, this is a telic clause, so that my nose can get angry, so that my nose can burn. Literally, my nose, afi, so that I can become angry against the people. Now it continues, wa'akalem, another wow, no, not a wow consecutive. It almost fools you, but it's followed by an aleph. Had it been a wow consecutive, it would be a patha, a kametz. Compensative lengthening. So you have the same sequence of imperative followed by adjusive, followed by now an imperfect with a wow conjunction has the same force, so that I may consume them. Suffix on the end. See, I guess I better pick up the pace here. And then another same thing here, a wow conjunction on an imperfect third hey, so that I may make you into a great nation. Remember 19, Exodus 19, that promise was to Israel. Verse 11. And Moses, what Yahal, this is kind of difficult, it's idiomatic, and it means something like made smooth God's feelings out. He tried to make him feel good. He appeased God to make him feel better. Literally, the face of Yahweh, his God. So that is emphasized again, that this Yahweh is his God and no longer was the God of the people. God had distanced himself, and Moses recognizes that. And he said, Lama Yahweh Yahrache Afika, why, O Yahweh, have you made angry your nose ba'amecha against your people? Okay, now Moses throws it back at God. These aren't my people. They are, in fact, your people, which hot seitha, which you, second person, not which I brought out from Egypt. He doesn't accept that. Moses reminds God, you are the one that brought them out. This is the hifil from Yatsah, the typical word for the Exodus, which you brought out, me Eretz, from the land of Mitzrayim, by great strength, and ubayad hazakah, and by a strong arm or hand. Verse 12, Lama yomaru Mitzrayim, why should Egypt say? Now here in Mitzrayim, it's a dual form. It goes with a plural verb. Why should Egypt say? Now notice here, yomaru is the kal imperfect, but here obviously it's not a future tense. It's the modal. Why should they? It's sort of like subjunctive. Why would they? Why should they say? Lemors, imperfect, infinitive construct saying, Bara'a hotziam, for evil he brought them out. Laharog, infinitive construct, to kill, otham, them, direct object. Beharim, by sword. Harem, this is a beh on here. It's because of the accented, unaccented hey with a kamet. Goes to a segol. Wa lakalotham, u lakalokam, is a suffix on an infinitive construct, and it's a third hey, kala piel. The tip off of this appeal infinitive construct is you see two root letters, or three, with the first one being a pothek. There's hardly anything in the Hebrew verbal system that doesn't belong to a PL imperative or infinitive construct that goes that way. The holom there is because it's infinitive construct of a third hey. Me'el, from on the penei, the face or the surface of ha'adama, of the land, shuv. Return, turn away from, turn around from Meharon, from the fierceness afeka of your nose, of your anger, wahinahem, this is a nifal imperative, typically hey preformative for a nifal imperative, from nacham, change your mind, regret, feel sorry, concerning al, concerning hara'ah, the evil. La Amecha, against your people. Verse 13, Zakor. Here we do have an imperative form of Zakor. Remember in the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, it's Zakor, infinitive absolute. Here is a legitimate imperative form. Remember, and of course this is not just a mental thing, but act upon, act in accord with, actualize. La Avraham, to Abraham, La Yitzchak, to Israel, to Isaac, and to La Yisrael, to Israel, your servant, Avadecha, your servants, Asher, which Nishbata, which you swore. This is Nifal. It kind of starts in the Nifal. It doesn't have a special passive meaning. It just means which you swore. Lachem for them, Bach. Bach. This is a pausal form. It is masculine. It looks like it's feminine, but it's pausal, so it's Bach, by yourself. It would be typically of swearing by your name. Same idea. And Watadaber, when you spoke to them, it would be like promise to them. Arveh, I will multiply, imperfect, which means it's a continual thing, your seed, as kachochave, this construct plural masculine, like the stars of the Hashemayim, the heavens, wakol ha'aretz, and the earth, chazoth, this earth, which amarti, which I promised, atein, nathan, imperfect, I will give, lazarachem, to your seed, and they will possess it forever. Verse 14. And this is a climactic thing. While consecutive imperfect, same verb that we had before, where Moses says, be in the imperative, now Yahweh listened to his prophet. And Yahweh turned aside, al concerning hara'ah, the evil, or the disaster, asher, which he, Deber, had spoken, la'asoth, to do, la'amo, his people, against his people. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. I'll see you again sometime.